2 Corinthians 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here today, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to every single one of them in a special way, Lord, in a way that would grab a hold of them, Lord, and also, Lord, that it would be very, very clear and just obvious, Lord, what they need to do about the message today. I pray you do the same for me. Lord, I pray you give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, Lord, to get to the cross how you want me to, Lord. I pray that the guys would hear your voice through the preaching, Lord, and God, that you would transform us all to be more like you today. Lord, we love you. Pray that you would bless this message. I do need your help very much, and I pray that the guys would be attentive, not because I'm saying it, but because it comes from you, Lord. Please, God, this can change our lives. This can help us. But God, we've got to give the proper importance to it and place the proper value on it. I pray you'd help us to do that. Bless this day, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us and how good you are, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. I appreciate you guys standing up. Let me just say a couple of comments, then I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me here in a second. But 2 Corinthians is Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians that there was, right? The missionary and great visionary that started many churches and wrote over half of the New Testament. Great man, right? He's writing 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he's kind of down, and people were attacking him, and I'll try to explain some of that as we go through. He goes through some of these verses. I'm not going to deal with a lot of this, just so we can get to the point here. But let me jump in verse number 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." I talked about some people are attacking him. These are false prophets. So after he shows up to Corinth, and after he's having communications with these people and trying to help them, obviously you realize this is 2 Corinthians. There's 1 Corinthians before that. So he's had some correspondence with them. He's had a relationship with these guys. He was in Corinth for a year and a half, Acts tells us. So he's having a relationship with these people. When Paul had left Corinth, some other people came in behind him later on and said, "That Paul that supposedly preached to you guys, he's not even the real deal. He's not legit. He's not a real apostle." And then what did they do? When they try to throw shade at Paul, then they say, "We're the real apostles. We're the real ones." Apostle just means sent from God. So we're the real ones that are sent from God. We're the real ones that have the message of the Lord. You need to follow us. And they were perverting these people and pulling these people off track. Paul hears about this stuff, said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Hey, did you get saved because I was fake?" He's saying, "No, your own salvation proves that I'm the real deal." And he goes on with all these kind of things. But verse number 3, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Listen, guys, this is what he's saying. In the prior verses, he's talking about that he's not doing things through human might and human strength. Listen, if God's work is accomplished, it's not because we're smarter than everybody else. We're wiser than everybody else. We have great personalities, and it just draws people in. Listen, it has nothing to do with that. Now, God can use personality. God can use some of these things if we're not proud about it. But if God's work gets done, it's because God does it. Okay, it's because we pray and we use the word of God. It's not because we use our strength or our skill or our smarts that God's work gets accomplished. It's because of God's Holy Spirit that we get the work done. So when he says, "Though we walk in the flesh," he's saying we do not war after the flesh. Paul says, when I show up, it's not because I'm big man Paul. Watch out. I'm going to tell you guys what to do. He's saying, no, it has nothing to do with that. He's saying we do not war after the flesh. He's saying, when I go against the devil, when I want people to get saved, when I want people to change, when I'm praying for people, he's saying, I'm not saying if I preach louder then people will change. If I really get angry in this sermon, people will change. No, he's saying, I pray and I use the word of God. And those are the instruments, those are the tools that God uses to change people's lives. Listen, guys, we do not need to serve God by carnal or fleshly means. Okay, we need to serve God by the Spirit. spiritual means. And that's what he's talking about in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means physical. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, God, we talked about some of this stuff with the stat, okay? The devil can build a stronghold in a person's life. I've seen it happen even in generations in a family. The dad's a drunk. The kid grows up around that. And you would think he would learn, I don't want that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be different, right? That's what we would think. But very often, guys, that influence, that pull, those chains are so strong and so tight. The dad's a drunk. The son's a drunk. And then you watch that family years down the line, and it turns out. You say, man, how could that be? Guys, it's a stronghold of the devil. The devil has that family wrapped around his finger. Listen, I've seen these kind of things happen in the church through my family. They've dealt with families over the years. And sometimes, guys, you see that pattern. And that's a sad thing. Listen, if you're in one of those patterns, you say, well, Brother Tom, some generations preceding me, or I don't have much to be proud about. Can I tell you, forget that. Because if you will use the weapons of our warfare, which are not physical. Listen, guys, I don't need to give you some self-help book. I don't need to give you a stress ball so that you can overcome those problems. You know what I need to give you? I need to give you the Word of God, because that's God's power to help you in your life and to teach you what's right. Okay? And then I need to pray for you. And by the way, you need to pray for yourself. Okay? It would be bad if someone else prays more for an issue than you do for yourself. I'm not trying to bang you. I'm just saying, ask God to help us, all right? So he's saying our weapons are not physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, fortresses. We can pull those things down. Listen, you may have a weak spot in your life, and the devil has that as a stronghold in your life. Can I tell you, through God's weapons, which are the Word of God, which are prayer, which are memorizing verses and applying these things to our life, you can rip those things down, and you can get rid of those things. You say, I've always struggled with my anger. Can I tell you, God can help you overcome that. He can help you pull down those strongholds. I've always struggled with lust. I've always been proud. I've always had a problem with jealousy and envy. And I've always had a hard time forgiving people. Guys, can I tell you? It may be one of those things. It may be something completely different. But all of us have struggles like that. But can I tell you, with God's help, he can help you rip down those strongholds. Maybe, that's not the message today, but maybe somebody needs to hear that. That you can pull down these fortresses, these strongholds in your life through God's help. All right? Then he gets into verse number 5. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to pull something out of nowhere. Can somebody kind of quickly, in about a minute or two, more like a minute, recap for me the story of the prodigal son? I know everybody in the room has probably heard it. Can somebody recap it for me? What's the story of the prodigal son? Michael.
I think it was the fact that the son took the money from his father, and he went out and spent all his money on luxury things, partying, and he went from being a rich boy to a poor boy eating pig slobs.
Right.
And then he finally went back to his father once he realized the pig slobs wasn't it, and the lifestyle he was living wasn't it.
Right.
So once his father, once he came back to his dad threw a party for him, and I would say, like, I think his brother wasn't happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the rest of the story.
You pretty much nailed it, man. I appreciate that. That's the story of the prodigal son, guys, and it's very dramatic, right? I mean, guys, this son goes up to his dad, and basically, in our terminology, what he did is say, Dad, I don't care about you, but I want your stuff. I wish you were dead, but I want your stuff. I need your money. Okay? Dad was rich, had a big estate. So I want that. Rolls out the door. As soon as he gets the chance, he's out of there. And guys, like he said, he's partying. He's messing around with the wrong type of women. He's drinking. He's wild and crazy, off the hook. Okay? And it says, not long after, a famine arose. He spent all of his money. As soon as he spent all of his money, all his so-called friends were gone too. Okay, money gone, friends gone. It means you don't have real friends. Okay, then guys, he tries to join himself to a citizen there. He's out of money. But I think, Tim, he's saying, if I can just rebuild myself a little bit, if I can just get stable here, if I can make a little money, get things back in order, we'll be a good. He tries to join himself to that guy and say, please give me a job somehow. Let me do this. The guy says, okay, fine. Go slop my pigs. That is a disgraceful thing for a Jewish person. That was to be defiled under their law and under their ceremonies, okay? Well, guys, he's out there. He's so hungry. He wished, it's not edible for humans, but he wished that he could eat what the pigs are eating. That's nasty stuff. It's called swill. Okay? Nasty stuff. He got so desperate. He said, man, if I could eat that, I would. He thought he was going to die out there. And then he thought, what am I doing? The Bible says he came to himself. You know what it means? It clicked in his mind. What am I doing here? He woke up. Okay? He realized, what am I doing here? He's saying, I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he didn't expect to be treated like royalty once he got back home. He said, if my dad would just make me like a servant, I'd be making out better than I am here on my own. He runs back, guys, expecting the lowest job, hoping, wishing that maybe his dad will just allow him that. But you know what his dad does? Everybody knows the story. What happens? What does his dad do?
A big celebration.
He runs. He sees his son in the distance, runs down the road, hugs him, kisses him all over. Son, you're back. Puts the most expensive robe on him, ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, throws a big party. They kill the fatted calf, the Angus beef, or whatever you want to call it. They have a big barbecue. They have a great celebration. And then, like you said, we get into a whole other story about his brother saying, why is he back? I don't want him here. All right? And that's a different story for a different day. But guys, let me ask you this. We know that story. Trace it back, guys. Where did that start? And you, think about it. Where did that start in the prodigal son? Where did this come from? Why did he want to go out and be wild and crazy and party and all this kind of stuff? What do you think?
Because he saw money.
Okay.
And he saw opportunity to do what he wanted to do.
Okay. Where did it start, guys? I leave that question with you. You got to think. You got to get your wheels of your brain working today. Where did it start? I want you to learn. This is a big deal. This is important.
I don't know, but maybe his father.
Okay. All right. Where did it start? I'll tell you where it started. Think. In his thinking, in his brain, in his thought patterns. Guys, the Bible doesn't give details of it, but yeah, maybe as he's growing up in the father's house, a thought comes to his mind. Maybe he sees something, maybe he sees some people. We don't know what may have caused it, but in his mind, it began a thought process. Guys, listen, the prodigal son didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to jack off my dad, take all his money and run out and be wild and crazy. I think, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it today. Can I tell you that didn't happen? It was a slow process. He allowed his thinking to go wrong, guys, and as the story went on, that's where it all came from, his thinking process. Can I tell you also, though, the story gets right? You know why the story gets right? Because his thinking got right. Remember, he's down at the pig pen and he's wanting to eat their food? What happened? It says he came to himself. Like we said, he woke up, he snapped out of it. He got his brain right. He got his thinking right, guys. And that's the whole key to the story. That's when he says, I will arise and go to my father. Can I tell you that's a thinking process? I will arise. He's planning it out. This is what I'm going to do. Maybe if I go back, my dad will allow me to have this job. That's all thinking. He's planning it out in his mind, guys. He got his thinking right again. Listen, we could talk about other stories. I'm not going to get into them. You could talk about David. Yes, David saw the woman bathing, but can I tell you that got his brain working? If David would have turned from that and said, God, forgive me, help me, give me your strength not to give in to this temptation, I believe God would have given him the victory, but he got his brain working. And he didn't stop that process. He allowed it to keep snowballing. And you know what happened to David? Committed adultery, committed murder, and his family for generations was affected by that. Because his brain got whacked out, and he allowed it to continue like that. And many other stories we could get into. One other reference I want to give you, though, before I get into the first point is this. Hebrews 12:3, it says, for consider him, Jesus, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be weary and faint. You know what the Bible says? In your minds. In your minds. Guys, can I tell you that's where quitting starts, in your mind. If you want to continue on, you got to keep your brain right. You got to keep your thinking process right. You got to keep your mindset right if you want to continue on with the Lord. You got to get your thinking right. You say, why are we talking about this? Because of verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I hope everybody will listen to this. But guys, if you will take this and implement this into your life, it will help you. It's up to you, man. Here's what I want to preach on. Battleground. One word. Battleground. Listen, guys. You want to be successful in the Christian life? Up here. The battle is here. You know where the devil's coming after you? Up here. It may be through something you see. It may be through something you hear. But all that does is start your brain to work. And guys, the battle in the Christian life, listen, the battle in the Christian life is a mental battle. That's where you got to fight. You want to be victorious? You got to be fighting up here. This verse talks about it. Casting down imaginations. Years and years and years ago, I preached in this class on this verse. And I called it, it's time to throw down. Because that's what the verse is talking about. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are thoughts and philosophies and thought patterns that are against what God has revealed to us. What the truth is. Listen, when these thoughts come to our mind, you know what you need to do? Throw them down. Cast them down. Battleground. Young man, you want to be successful. You want God to bless you. You want God to use you. You want to have a great life with the Lord. Of course we do. This is the battleground. This is where the fight is. This is where the front lines are. Listen, sometimes, Tim, I think all of us do this from time to time, but we deal with symptoms. This is dealing with the source. This is getting down to the heart of the issue, guys. This is where it all is. You want to be a better Christian? Get your thinking better. Hey, I want to be a better Christian. You know what I need to work on? My thinking. So, battleground. Let's get into it. Point number one. Point number one is the forceful refusal. The forceful refusal. Those first two words. Casting down. Casting down. Guys, can I tell you this is not automatic. Once you prayed and got saved, this is not something that's just a package deal that you do it automatically. This is something you have to do on purpose. This is something you have to do intentionally. You have to do it. It's not going to happen by accident. Okay? The forceful refusal. Hey, guys, this gets down to the root of the problem. Listen, young man, you may have a problem with music, what you watch, or all these kind of things. But can I tell you, again, those are symptoms. And we need to preach on those things. But can I tell you even deeper is you got a problem up here with your thinking. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." I love that prayer from David. You know why? Because he's saying, God, get down to the root. I don't want just to deal with the symptoms and the outward manifestations. I don't want to just deal with those things. I want to get down to the root of the problem. That's why he says, God, you search me and you know me. God, know my thoughts, know my heart, know what's going on inside of me. Get down to the core of me. And God, show me what the problem is. Show me the specific details so, God, I can get them fixed. And that you can help me with these things. Guys, that's what it's all about. Get down to the root. Young man, you want to be a better Christian? You want to be a better young man for the Lord? Get down to the root of the problem. The Bible says this. This is a scary verse. Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart," does anybody know the rest?
So is he.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what it's saying? What's in your brain, what's in your heart, that's really who you are. Whew, can I tell you, that hits me strong. Because guys, we can do all the outward stuff. We can do all the outward motions. We can go through the routine. But what are you in your thinking right now? What are you in your heart and in your mind right now? What am I? Guys, that's what it's really all about. It's not how well you preach. It's not how loud you sing. It's not whatever else people think of you. Listen, we can do all those things and those things are fine. What are you in your heart and in your mind? That's what you truly are. The Bible says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You have a bad heart and a bad mind, you'll have a bad life. That's why Paul in Philippians, he says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, what does he say? Think on these things. He's saying you got to train your mind to think right. Guys, can I tell you, this is a battle. This is the battleground. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let's get our thinking aligned with our Lord. This is an amazing verse in Isaiah 55. Listen to this. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know what it's saying? If somebody's wicked, if they're off track, it said, let him forsake his way, let him turn on that. And then it said, Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Change his thinking. Guys, if you stop doing certain things, but you keep thinking the same way, you're going to keep doing the same things. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore, but you still think it's a good thing. You still think it's fun. Can I tell you, you still hang around the same friends? You're going to go right back to it. You're going to go right back to it. Like the Bible says, like a pig returns to the slough, like a pig returns to the mud. If your thinking does not change, you're going to go right back to it. Listen, to repent means to turn your back on it. It also means to change your mind. Listen, you used to think it was good and fun and caused happiness in your life. You have to change the way you think about it and get God's angle on it and say, that's not fun. That's wicked. That'll ruin my life. That'll mess me up. It says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. That's why the Bible says in Romans, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get that junk. Listen, guys, you want your attitude to change? Change your thinking. How do you change your thinking? Get in the Word of God. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, Time out. Everybody look up here real quick. Everybody look up here. Wherever you are in the Christian life, if you're saved, okay, wherever you are, we all need to grow. I need to grow. You need to grow. All of us. You know what you need to do? We've got to say, God, something needs to change in my life, but I got to get my thinking to change. God doesn't want to just leave you where you are. Nathan, he doesn't want to just leave you where you are and say, oh, he's been coming a while and he's fine right here. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to get stagnant and stale. He wants you to say, I'm fine, I'm good. I haven't grown in 3 years, but who cares? I got this thing figured out. I got it on cruise control. Can I tell you, you're going to cruise right into a brick wall. Because the devil's going to set you up, young man. He's going to say, oh, he thinks he's good. I got it now. He's going to take you out. Listen, you've got to keep growing. You've got to keep the intensity high. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Listen, you need to grow. I need to grow. So how do we do it? We got to get in God's Word. Say, God, I want these bad thoughts out. I need the right thoughts in. You got to help me do this. Guys, get down to the root of the problem. Can I also tell you in this verse, we're the ones that are responsible for it. Hey guys, I grew up in a great home. I'm thankful for my parents, thankful for the church that I got to grow up in. But you know what? If you're going to cast down imaginations, if I'm going to do that, guess who's going to do that? I have to choose to do that. The subject of this verse is you understood. Whenever you start out a verse and it just starts out with a verb like that, casting down an action, the subject is you understood. That's who it's talking to. It's talking to you. It's talking to me. Listen, if you're going to cast these thoughts down, you have to do it. You can't get your brain zapped and get all the bad thoughts out of there. You can't buy some fake thing on TV. If you wear this hat for 15 minutes a day, it'll change your thinking. No, it won't. All right, they'll just take your money. That's the only thing that changed. The money changed hands from yours to theirs, and you ain't getting it back. All right? There's no magic pill that you take. There's no treatment, guys. You have to get in the Word of God. You have to do it. I have to do it. If we expect these things to change, we have to put in the work. Listen, some of you maybe have been sheltered and your parents have kept those bad influences away from you. And thank God for that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. Don't look down on it. But can I tell you, the point's going to come, Nathan, Wes, and all of us, where they can't do that anymore. You've got to choose this for yourself. You've got to, that only sets the stage for you to make the right choices. I've seen some kids that have been sheltered all throughout their adolescence, guys, and then when they get to a certain age, they go off the deep end, a.k.a. prodigal son that we've been hammering on heavily, right? Just because you've been sheltered doesn't mean nothing, all right? All that does is give you the opportunity when you get to a certain age to choose the good for yourself. So choose that now for yourself. Listen, you're responsible for that, and so am I for me. And you have to reject these things. Listen, guys. You say, what is this message even about? It's about this. That every single one of us this week, bad thoughts will come in our mind. Okay? Can be about a million different things. But all of us struggle with this. But you have to throw them down. You have to say no to them. You have to say, no, I'm not going to think about that, and change your thinking to another direction. You have to do that. Listen, guys, that is so key in the Christian life. Can I tell you, there are a lot of times in the Bible where men of God and women of God had to say no to certain things. Listen, guys, being a Christian doesn't just mean you smile all the time and whatever anybody says, say, yeah, that's fine. That's not the Christian life. There's times you have to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. He referenced it earlier about Joseph. Joseph said, how can I sin and do this great wickedness against God? He's talking to a woman that's trying to go crazy with him right there. He says, I can't do this. You know why I can't do this, lady? Because God is watching, and I can't do this against him. He said no. He stood strong. I love the story of Naboth. The king was trying to buy his vineyard from him, something that God had entrusted to him through his family. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. You know what he's saying? I love in these stories, Tim, I find those two correlating, and Joseph and Naboth. They're having a conversation with somebody, but they bring God into the conversation. Can I tell you, out of nowhere? Nobody was talking about God before this, but they say, no, I can't do it. You know why I can't do it? Because the Lord's watching me. God forbid that I do it. I like that. Hey, guys, why don't we bring God into the conversation more often? It'll keep us on track. It'll keep us on track. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it me. Can I tell you, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what that means, young man? Listen, here's what I'm saying. You want to have a good life? You got to say no to the wrong things. You have to say no to the wrong things. I have to say no to the wrong things. And every single one of us will have plenty of opportunities this week to either say yes or no. What's it going to be? Bible says, cast it down, cast it down, cast it down. You know where drinking starts? In your mind. You know where hanging out with the wrong friend starts? In your mind. You know where messing up with that girl and getting her pregnant starts? In your mind. Get your mind right. That's the battleground. You say, I don't know what happened. I just got in the wrong position. And man, before you know it, we're messing around. And oh my goodness, she's pregnant. No, your thinking has been messed up for years. And that's what happened. You didn't control it. And then you allowed one thing to lead to the other, to the other, to the other. And when the dominoes start falling, you can't halfway through say, stop, time out. Doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't work that way for me, and it doesn't work that way for you. Get your thinking right. Plan ahead. Decide early. Decide early. I'm never going to be with a young lady alone. Yeah, I don't care if anybody likes it. These are good decisions to make. Plan ahead. Get your thinking right. Listen, let me throw this out here while I'm in the neighborhood. Listen, you should, if your parents don't set a limit for you, a restriction for you about this, you should set one for yourself. That you should say, I will not... If you have friends that you text, whatever, even girls, you should set a certain time. And I would say early time, maybe 9, 10 at the most. Say, I'm not going to text a girl after that time. After that time. I'm telling you, why? What's the big deal? Because, guys, the later the hour gets and you're still talking with a young lady, the conversations naturally go in a direction that is not healthy for a young man to keep living for God. That's true. Can I tell you, I've told that advice to some people, and Tim, they gave me the awkward look. And I'm not trying to prophesy doom and gloom on anybody, but can I tell you, those same dudes that I've told 5, 6, 7 years ago ended up getting girls pregnant, not married to them. I'm not saying I'm smarter than anybody or I'm prophesying. I learned that from Brother Kenny, but can I tell you, it's good advice. It's good advice. You should set that. If your parents haven't set that for you already, and they say, hey, your phone needs to be here at a certain time, set that for yourself. Hey, again, this doesn't say have your parents cast down imaginations for you, does it? Is that what the Bible said? No. It says you cast it down. I got to cast it down. You want to be a man? This is what it's about. There's plenty of junk that can pull you down and destroy you as a man. You got to say no to these things. The Bible says, Proverbs, as Solomon's teaching his son, he says, son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what he's saying? Say no to them. And by the way, can I tell you, that's not an if situation. That's a when situation. That's going to happen. It will happen. You got to say no to it. Listen, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He's just a teenager. He's not a preacher. He's not 35 years old. He was just a teenager. And they were trying to get him to defile himself and eat meat and drink wine that was offered to idols. You know what we would do? We would think, what's the big deal? You know what Daniel did? He said, no, I've dedicated myself to God. If I put that stuff down my throat, I'm defiling my God and defiling myself. He's saying, I'm purposing my heart. I've made up my mind, made up my heart. I'm not going to defile myself with that. And God blessed him for it. Listen, those three Hebrew boys, they didn't bow. Man, they were standing in front of the most powerful man in the world at that time by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. Listen, and they say, listen, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We say, King, you can do to us whatever you want to do. And he had already threatened them with the fiery furnace. I'm going to burn you to a crisp. They say, do it, but we're still not going to bow. Man, guys, that's what I need. That's what we need. We need the guts to say no to these things. Listen, again, the whole society turned against Daniel and they said, you can't pray. Listen, it says he went into his chamber, his windows being open toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and he prayed and he gave thanks as he did a fourth time. He was just the same guy. He had character. They said, you can't pray. Listen, I don't think he didn't protest out in the streets with his signs and say, we have the right to pray, and he's going. He didn't do anything like that. You know what he did? He just kept living how he always did. And you know how that was? Three different times a day. He would get down and go to his place that he lived, open the windows toward Jerusalem. He would kneel down upon his knees, and he'd pray and thank God. Listen, that's who he was. That's what he would do all the time. You know what he did? He said, you can try to force me to live this way? No, I'm going to live for God. Hey, they tried to prophesy Job's downfall and say, Job, you're just a hypocrite. You're just a sinner. And you've covered it up well enough that everybody thinks well of you. But we know the real story. He said, God forbid that I should justify you. You know what he's saying? How dare I prove you right? I'm going to prove you wrong. How? By me living right. By me living pure. Hey, guys, there's times to say no. And can I tell you, when these bad thoughts come to mind, that's the time to say no. Guys, it's got to be radical. Hello? It's got to be radical. Listen, people are fanatical and radical about many things in life. But when it comes to a Christian, if you show up to church more than like, you know, one time a month, they say, dude, what's wrong with you? Are you in a cult? Listen, guys, in other areas of life, look up here. In other areas of life, people could care less. Listen, we've heard of people that go to the bar several times a week. Can I tell you, that's radical. But you know, the world doesn't bat an eye at that. They don't worry about that because that's normal in their opinion. Can I tell you that's not normal? Hey. People go to the bar several times a week. How about this? Dudes click on porn every stinking day. That's radical. That's radical. You talk about having a polluted brain, being a slave to these images. That's radical. Can I even tell you, this is not bad. This is not bad or good. But can I tell you, guys that work out and guys that watch what they eat and they train and they punish their body and train themselves. Why? So they can go out on a football field or they can play basketball or baseball or some fighting sport or whatever it may be, guys. They do that. Can I tell you, that's radical. Now, that's not sin, but that's radical. But if you play sports or in the world, if you click on this or you drink this, people say, well, that's fine. That's just normal. But when you start reading your Bible every day, the world says, what are you doing? You're a weirdo. And we say, oh, I guess you're right. Let's not care what they say. Listen, if you can be radical for a ball game, why can't you be radical for God? You say, what are you talking about, Brother Tom? Many times in the Bible, guys, God gives us very strong and severe words and commands saying, you need to do this. And it's radical, guys. It's fanatical. You say, like what? Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that calls us to err. If something in your life is leading you astray and influencing you in the wrong way, you know what the Bible says? Cease. You know what cease means? Stop. Enough. Stop it right then and there. Wes, it does not say, lessen up. Lessen up, my son, from the words that cause you to err. That's not what it says. It says cease. It doesn't say cut back your intake. Decrease. Don't do as much. I've heard guys say this to me. Well, Brother Tom, I'm not going to hang around them as much. How about you don't hang around them at all? That might be the step you need to take. I dealt with the subject of clicking on stuff a minute ago. I heard one dude, I guess he had a good try to have a good intention about this, but he said, yeah, I don't click on porn as much as I used to. And I thought, dude, you shouldn't be clicking on porn at all. Hey, I understand progress and I understand improvement and all that kind of stuff, but we need to have a zero tolerance policy in our lives that we say, I will not do these things. And if I do these things, I'm reporting it to my leaders. I'm getting help immediately. I'm not going to say, oh, I only did it 3 times this week instead of 5. Can I tell you, that's still not good? I'm not trying to kick people while they're down or discourage them, but guys, that's still a huge problem is what I'm trying to say. It's fanatical, it's radical, it's forceful. He says, cease. Listen, the Bible doesn't say linger around fornication. What does it say about fornication? Yeah, it says flee. You know what that means? Run away. Get out of there. But that's exactly what Joseph did, right? When the woman says, let's go do this now, he's not saying, well, let's go talk about it. You want some coffee? No, he needed to get out of there immediately. And that's what he did, and that's why he kept his life pure. And that's why God used him in a great way, guys. Listen, he wasn't lingering around it, but hey, something comes on the TV. Are you fleeing? I'm not talking about you run out of the room. Are you changing the channel? We better watch it, because we can preach this stuff, flee fornication, and then we're entertained by fornication. Ooh, I can't believe they showed that. Sickening. And if that's the kind of people we are, we're lying to people and we're hypocrites. Let's not be like that. Let's be the real deal. If we say it up here, or if we say we're Christians, then let's live it all the time with God's help. Flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. The Bible says you should love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That sounds kind of drastic to me. Yep. That's exactly it. Hey, guys, what I'm trying to say is this. Not that you need to become a weirdo, but don't worry about what people think. And if you're going to do this thing for God, go all in. Give it your best. Again, Tim, if I can punish my body to play baseball when I'm in college, why can't I work hard at being a Christian? We got some. Listen, guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody down or act like I'm better than anybody, because I struggle too. But we got some really lazy Christians this day and age. And then we wonder why. I don't know why my life is not what it should be. We've got to step it up. Tim, it would be pretty dumb if I never showed up to practice, never showed up to the workouts, never did anything. First game comes and I throw on my uniform. Coach, I'm ready to play. Coach is going to be like, you can sit with the fans because you're not on this team. Right? Let's be real about it. But sometimes with God, we put in no effort, don't read our Bible, don't pray, don't try. I don't know why I'm not a good Christian. Guys, we've got to work harder, all right? We've got to work at this. And it's repeated. Hey, guys, this casting down, it's a continual thing. Listen, when the devil comes at you, he doesn't usually come with one temptation. Danny, he usually comes multiple. He comes rapid fire. You've got to continue to say no. Listen, guys, this is how it works. The battle against lust, thought comes to your mind. I can't think that. Lord, forgive me for that. Help me. You quote a verse to help you. It comes back. It comes back. It comes back. It keeps bashing you in the head, and you think, no, 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 no. That's what you got to do. If you want victory, that's how it works. The Christian life is not, I go to the altar one time and I never have any more struggles. Paul said, I die daily. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I tuck some verses away. I memorize these things so that I can get in that mental battle, that combat, that hand-to-hand combat with the devil, and I can win. Let me throw this at you. Can I tell you guys the sword of the Spirit that's talked about in Ephesians? There's two words that could be used. One is a ramphia, which would be a long sword. That one you would swing around. That's not the word that's used about the sword of the Spirit. You know what the word for the sword of the Spirit is? It's Machaira. It's a dagger about 6 to 8 inches long, about this long. Does it take any skill to swing a sword around like this? No. You're just hacking away carelessly, right? With that dagger sword, you can do this, and that ain't going to help you at all. You know, with the dagger, you've got to put it at the exact spot that it needs to go. You've got to get that guy in the heart. You've got to get him in a vulnerable area. You have to. That's the only way you're going to win the battle. That's the word that's used for the sword of the Spirit. So you know what that means? I need to know enough about the Bible. When the devil comes after me with temptation about lust, then I can answer him with a verse about lust. That's what I'm talking about. When the devil comes at me with pride and say, man, you the man. You're better than all these guys. I need to be able to answer back with a word of God, a verse about pride. Bam. I can't just wave my Bible at the devil. Here's my sword of the Spirit, devil. That ain't going to help. You can have 30 Bibles at home and not own the sword of the Spirit, if you know what I'm talking about. You've got to be able to handle the word of God and learn these things. So guys, that means if I struggle with music, I need to memorize verses about music. If I struggle with obeying my parents, I need to memorize verses about obeying my parents. If you need help, come talk to me after class. Talk to Tim. We will give you a list and you can start working on these things. I promise you. We've done it with tons of guys. All right? But that's the mental battle. That's the fight that we're talking about in the Christian life. Point number two, the fanciful reasonings. The forceful refusal. You have to cast it down. And what are we casting down? The fanciful reasonings. What does the Bible say? Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Get this, guys. Please understand this. The fanciful reasonings. That's what we're throwing down. These conceptions, these imaginations. And it says every high thing, these thoughts, these philosophies that are against God, these things that are conceited. It says every high thing. It's prideful. Okay? It exalts itself. And it's contrary. It opposes and rises up and rebels against what we know to be right about God. The fanciful reasonings. Can I tell you this quickly? Guys, imaginations has the idea of something that's make-believe. These thoughts that come to my mind that say, you can do this and get away with it. Can I tell you that's make-believe? It's not going to happen. Like we talked about, you do wrong, consequences are going to happen. Okay? Well, maybe I can do this and get away with it. No, you're not. Maybe I can, not do a certain thing and it won't be a big deal. I'm sorry. God's already made it work that if you seek Him, He'll bless you. If you disobey Him, there'll be trouble that comes in your life. The way of the transgressor is hard. These things that are contrary and that rise up against what we know about God. Hey guys, let me dive in here real quick. It says every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can I tell you, I think that means three things. All right? Please try to learn these things, guys. Listen, guys, I would try to preach hard whether there are two guys in the class or the class we have 50 in here. But because I want to do it for the Lord. But can I tell you, we're trying to implant these things in you. Please grab a hold of this. This will help you. Not because I think my speech is real fancy, but because I know this will work in a young man's life. So grab a hold of it. All right? Listen. Write things down if you can. Retain it so that you can use it. All right. When it's talking about the knowledge of God, I think it means these three things. First of all, it's talking about the character of God. What does that mean? That means who He is. Tell me what God is like. Tell me some things about God. Just random. What are some things about God?
He's perfect.
Perfect. What else?
Just.
What else? There's plenty.
Righteous.
Mm-hmm. He only does what's right.
Patient.
Yeah. Merciful, gracious, forgiving, right? He's love. He's immutable. He's all-knowing everywhere at the same time. All-powerful. We get all these things, right? So, guys, if a thought comes up in my mind that's against the character of God, maybe let's say that I mess up, all right, Anthony, I mess up and I sin, which I do, all right? But, Nathan, if that happens and the thought comes to my mind, God's not going to forgive you. You messed up for the last time. God is done forgiving you. Hey, I've had that thought come to my mind before in my life. But can I tell you, that doesn't match with the character of God, right? It doesn't match. Because the Bible tells me that God is a forgiving God. True? Yeah. So guys, when these thoughts come to my mind, say, He's not going to forgive you for that. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So I need to take that sword of the Spirit out and say, no, that's not true. It's like a balloon that you pop. Get out of here. Listen, that's how the devil, he throws these things up in your mind. God won't forgive you for that. That's not true. He'll forgive me. He's a forgiving God. So it goes against His character sometimes. Can I tell you also, when it talks about things going against the knowledge of God, not only just His character, I believe His commands. His commands. What He says in the Word of God. What He's given us in the Bible. God gave us the Bible so we know how to live. What He said. All right? How about in the area of lust? This is a popular fallacy, at least years back. It used to be, I don't know if you guys still hear this, it used to be when I was a teenager, people would say, you can look, just don't touch, as a man. And talking about nasty stuff. You can look all up and down a woman, just don't touch her. Can I tell you, what does God say? What does God say? God says, if you look at her, you've already sinned. You've already committed adultery. right? Not just look at her, but look with lust. You guys are like, man, I've looked at people today. I'm not talking about that. I just misspoke, okay? You look with lust. You linger there. You getting all these nasty images in your mind and thinking about stuff that you shouldn't. You've already messed up. I didn't touch her. I didn't do nothing. No, you did. It was up here. Listen, guys, again, when a thought arises itself against the character of God, say, no, that's not who God is. God's forgiving. God's perfect. God will forgive me. And then you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. All right? In this area, something rises up against the character or against the commands of God. God's told me, don't look with lust. You've already crossed the line. People tell me, oh, you can look, just don't touch. Obviously, that's not true. You know what I need to do? Throw that down. It's not true. And then, guys, can I throw one last one at you? The calling on your life. The knowledge of God is talking about his character, who he is, his commands, what he said in his word, and then his calling on your life. What I mean by this is the following. What he specifically touched your heart to do. Guys, if he's led me in a certain area and God's told me in this realm, I want you to do this, then I need to be faithful to that. Okay? That's what that is referring to is when it says in Proverbs 3:6, he shall direct your path. You should be able to look back in your life and say, God directed me right there. He directed my path right there. He showed me where to go right here. And you should be able to point to things in your life. And guys, don't budge off of those. Don't budge off of those. I thank God for directing my path, directing my steps at certain points in my life where I know he helped me. Anthony, I can't get to a certain point and say, well, I think that was just coincidence now. No, can I tell you, that's exactly what God told me to do. And I need to stand firm on that. There's no Bible verse about my decision that I made, but as God showed me and firmed it up in my thinking as I prayed and sought him, hold on to that. Don't allow that to get away from you. Guys, how about this one? This is the same chapter at the end of verse number 12. It says, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Hey, what if I'm trying to serve the Lord and then another guy just like me, he does a similar job and he may do a better job of it than I do. And I start thinking, Nathan, man, I maybe should just give up. This guy's, man, he's so much better than me. He tells a joke, everybody laughs. I tell a joke, they're staring at me like, what's wrong with you? You know, what do I do? I could just, man. What is God telling me? He's saying, don't compare yourself. Hey, guys, if you are comparing yourself with another Christian and say, man, I don't think I could ever measure up. Listen, you know who you need to measure yourself up to? The Lord. Just keep trying to be like him. Just keep trying to be like him. Bible says if you compare yourself with another Christian, that is not being wise. That's being foolish. Let's not follow that. So against your calling. Listen, Tim, God may, what I mean by that pertaining to this is this. God may have moved you in this area of your life. You may look at somebody else and say, well, they're at college or they're here or God's called them to this. Don't worry about that. You do what God's called you to do. Does that make sense? I need you to understand that. That you need to just worry about what God wants you to do. Well, this guy, he's a missionary and he's my age. Or this guy is at a Bible college and he's... Can I tell you, man, if God has called Tim to do what he's doing now, stay with it. As he keeps praying and God keeps leading him, I'm sure God will have other things for him in the future. But he can't compare himself. Kevin's at Bible college in Kentucky. He can't be like, oh, man, Kevin's doing great. And I'm... No. God's called Kevin to do this. He's called Tim to do this. Listen, if Tim's faithful to God and seeking God where he's at and this, he believes this is where God wants him, he's doing what God wants him to do. You understand? It's not that one's better and one's worse and one's doing great and one's terrible. No, it's God has called us to different things. That's what I'm trying to say. And then point number three, the final result. This is what we're going after. If we continue to cast down and these wrong thoughts come to our mind and we throw them down, these fanciful reasonings, the things that are against God's character, against his command, against his calling on our life. Then point number three, the final result. At the end of the verse, it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guys, this is what we're going for. This is what we're shooting for. It says, bringing in. That's talking about all those stray thoughts like we talked about. We want to think in line with what's right. But guys, we all deal with stray thoughts, crazy things, stuff all over the map. What do we need to do? We need to bring them in. Bring them in. These stray thoughts. And it says bringing into what? Captivity. Lock them up. Throw them in jail is the picture, is the portrait that it's painting here, this shackled treatment. Listen, guys, the things that aren't right, you lock those things up. Say, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm not going down that road in my mind. In the specific totality, what does it say? Bringing into captivity every thought. Guys, that's a full-time job. Listen, if you want to get your thinking right, you got to continue to work on it. You can't get lazy in your thinking. You can't get to a certain point and say, yeah, I don't need to try anymore. And guys, I shouldn't even need to say this, but you can't have your thinking right if you're watching dirty things, if you're clicking on filth, if you're listening to music that's not right with God. If you're not in your Bible, your thinking's not going to be right. It's not. It's not. Let's just be real about it. Okay? Bringing into captivity every thought. Hey, young man, is your thinking where it needs to be? Every thought. And then, guys, what am I doing? I bring it to the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't obey Christ, if it doesn't exalt Him, if it's contrary to His commands, if it's something that's against His calling for my life, I need to throw it down. I need to get rid of it. I need to lock it away. Get it out of here. Why? Because my goal is I want everything to be in line with the obedience of Christ. Hey, young man, let me say this and we'll be done. Like I said, guys, sometimes we deal way on down the line with the symptoms. Let's get to the source today. Hey, I stand in front of a group of young guys in here, whether you're 15, 14, 15, some of you are a little bit older than that. But guys, can I tell you, all of you have a future and you have big decisions to make in your life. Hey guys, we want everybody in this room and everybody that's not even here today that should be here. Listen, we want you to have good lives that God blesses. That's our goal. But can I tell you where it all starts? This is the battleground. You don't want to mess up your life with a young woman, young man? Get your thinking right now. You don't want to get away from the Lord and turn your back on what you've been taught from God's Word? Get your thinking right now. Hey, are you allowing friends in your life that pull you astray? That affect your thinking? They shoot down anything spiritual that comes up? Guys, let's get our thinking right now. This is the battleground. How you doing? Let's fight. Let's work at this. Because guys, if you win the battle here, you can win the battle in your Christian life. I pray that you will, and I pray that I will. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today.